morning. Father, thank you for a place to find sanctuary. Lord, I don't remember a Sunday when as many people shared the need, the crisis that looms in their life this coming week. So many surgeries, so many diagnoses of very severe illnesses, so many decisions that are facing people. Father, it was overwhelming. But Lord, I thank you for people that love one another enough to share the hurts of their life. And I pray for your your mercy and grace over these many who have a very chilling week ahead of them. Father, help them to find strength in you this week. Father, for that diagnosis just in the last few days of cancer, come close to that one, Father, I pray. Encourage his heart today. Father, for the needs of our people, I pray that we would be a church that maybe we don't know the details, but we would know the source, and that we would just lift these up to you, Father, this week. So it's a good day to be in your house, Father. It's a necessary day. And we give you the praise in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn over to James chapter 2. We're working our way through the book of James. We're going to be looking at verses 18 through 26 of chapter 2 of James. And what we're going to be looking at is visible, tangible faith. So let me read these verses from 18 through 26. But someone will say, "You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by her works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." What a passage of scripture. So we're going to look this morning first of all at faith defined, and then we'll consider faith demonstrated. And then finally, we'll conclude with faith delivers. I don't know what the crisis is in your life. And as I said, it seemed like every person's hand that I shook this morning held onto my hand and shared something very, very fearful. Some were just begging for strength just to get through the days. Folks, I have the answer this morning. And I got it from God. It's in His Word. Visible, tangible faith. Faith is the language that God hears and responds to. God's language is faith. And He wants us to speak faith to Him. And when He sees faith, He is pleased. In fact, without faith, it is impossible to please him, Hebrews 11:6 tells us. That means if you're one of these individuals that just try to make it through life on your own, folks, you're not pleasing God. Just being a tough man or woman doesn't make you a person that God's proud of. But when we humble ourselves and cry out to him in faith, then we please God. And trust me, it's a good thing to be pleased in God's eyes. So let's look at faith defined from verse 18 this morning. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, a verse many of you have committed to memory, tells us that faith is a gift. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Then Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And finally, Romans 1:5 tells us that faith is obedience. Folks, faith is a big deal to God. It is a huge deal. And he's looking for people who will respond to him in faith. He wants us to call unto him and believe that he is a God that will. I have a definition. You may like this or not. It's free today. Faith is knowing it is so before it is so, in order for it to be so. Faith is knowing it is so before it is so, in order for it to be so. Faith is completed in works. I want to take a couple of men that you are familiar with, I'm sure, if you know anything about the Bible at all. You can go to Hebrews 11. It's called the Hall of Fame of Faith, and it has a lot of folks mentioned there. But two of them stand out to me. First of all, there's Noah, all right? Noah's listed over there. Now, here's the setup. It has never rained on the earth, all right? It has never rained, and therefore it has never flooded. And God called to Noah, and he said, you're going to build a boat. And that boat, turns out, it took almost 125 years to finish. Some have the speedy boat, I guess, with 70 years, but somewhere around 100 years it took him. Now, this man does not have a meek slumber down on the corner. He can't have the lumber delivered out to the job site. He's got to go out and find the wood and cut it and fashion it and put it into a vessel that will not leak. 125 years he spends building this boat. And not only that, God said, okay, now I want you to go out and I want you to get 7 pairs of clean animals and a pair of unclean animals, of all of the animals, and critters too, I guess, because critters can't swim. And so he had to put all of these on this ark. Now, folks, you cannot accomplish that unless you believe God. That requires faith. Now, the jobs that you and I have and the responsibilities aren't anything close to that. So if he had to have faith for that, don't we have to have faith for what we do? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That boat, by the way, was over 500 feet long, 85 feet wide, and 51 feet tall. It's the size of a large cargo ship that some of you that are familiar with the oceans and all. Noah had faith, is the point. He's listed in that list. And then there's also Abraham. As tough as Noah's job was, Abraham's was tougher. Because Abraham, God told Abraham, he said, take your son Isaac. Now, Abraham had 8 wives. And he had 8 male children. I don't know how many girls, sorry ladies, but you weren't included. But he had 8 sons from these 8 wives. And one of the wives was Sarah. Now, this is a man who has looked for God's best throughout his whole life. And he had walked with God for 100 years. He's about that now. And so God said, okay, take your son. Not one of the concubine sons, but I want you to take Sarah's son, Isaac. And I want you to take Isaac, and I want you to take him to Mount Moriah. That's a special place. The temple's going to be built on Mount Moriah 2,000 years later. I want you to take Isaac, and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. Now, Isaac's not privy to this, because on the way up the mountain, Isaac, he's about 15, 16 years old now. And he looks at him and he says, Father, he said, we've got the fire and we've got the wood, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham simply responded to him, Son, the Lord will provide. I like that because that's all Isaac needed to know. My daddy said, it's going to be okay. He's going to provide the sacrifice, God is. He didn't know he was a sacrifice. So he puts him on the altar and ties his hands behind him. And he's laying there on the altar, and his dad is looking down on him with a knife in his hand. And he is going to plunge that knife into that boy's heart and take his life. Folks, at 16, and by this time Abraham's 115 or so, that boy could have whipped his dad. But he is as much believing his dad as Abraham's believing his father. And he's going to plunge that knife into the boy's heart. And just as he is moving downward to take his life, his hand was stayed, and there was a ram over there in the thicket. And Isaac got up off the altar, and they sacrificed the ram. Now, folks, you put yourself in a situation like that. That's faith. Because both Noah and Abraham believed God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is simply speaking God's will back to him in prayer. That's what faith is. Faith is speaking God's will back to him in prayer. Faith is blessed by God. I want to define faith further. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We are justified by faith, and thus we have peace with God. Every one of us that walked into this room this morning walked in here as sinners, didn't we? All have sinned to come short of the glory of God. And so we've got to do something with that sin issue in our life. And by grace through faith is the way you deal with that. So faith is blessed by God. We are justified by faith and have peace with God. Faith produces unspeakable joy, 1 Peter 1, 8 through 9. I don't know the mood you're in this morning, but if you're in Christ Jesus and you are not full of joy, why not? The faith that you have should be sufficient to overcome any woe or burden that you bring into this place this morning. Faith helps us run with endurance the life set before us. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, we walk, live by faith, not by sight. And if you are truly full of faith, you are constantly thanking him for what he's doing in your life. That means that just the thought of what God is doing in your life erupts in thanksgiving because of this faith. Faith is validated through works in obedience to God. What we don't do because we want to or we have to. We do as a testimony of our faith in God. Whether it's going to work or whether it's whatever you're doing. Everything has to be done in the context of this faith that we hold. Is this sounding strange to you this morning? You're in the right place if it is. Because we are in the faith business here today. We can show you how to have a faith that I'm describing to you this morning. We've already said without faith it's impossible to please God. But when we have faith, then we have works. The two go together. And when we have faith and works, God is pleased with our life. And when we have faith and works, it results in God's will being realized. If you want to know and do God's will, start with faith, followed by works, and God is pleased with your life. If those things are missing, He's not. Faith attracts God's attention. He knows when He sees faith. When Jesus was ministering here on earth, I believe what He did is He just walked around looking for faith. And when He saw faith, He spoke and miracles poured forth from His ministry. God is always looking at our lives for faith. And God uses and blesses people who live by faith. If you want to be blessed by God, then the route to that is to be a man or woman full of faith. If you're a man or woman full of faith, God is going to bless your life. And He's going to use you for His glory. Now in the Scripture we find that faith is quantified. There is little faith and great faith. But you want to know something? The power of even a little faith is sufficient to move a mountain. Think about that. You said that's just hyperbole. That's not really... yes, it is. Folks, even God said, a little faith. Say to this mountain, be cast into the sea. It'll take place. Faith in prayer is to speak God's will back to Him. That's what prayer is. We're speaking God's will back to Him. And so if we're speaking His will back to Him, we have to speak it in faith believing. And if we do so, He hears and answers our prayer. Well, let me bring this to a close. Doubting is the enemy of prayer and faith. The Scripture talks about double-minded people. A double-minded person, God says, is unstable in all his ways, James 1, 7 through 8. And what He follows that with is that double-minded person, He says, they will receive nothing of the Lord. Do you see how important this thing of faith is? I hope it's resonating with your being. Second this morning, faith demonstrated. Verse 19 says, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Verse 19. Then verse 20, do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? It's raised the level, isn't it? There's faith, okay? But faith that is not followed by works is worthless. Now, I know there's people cringing around here right now, and they're probably having a nightmare or something like that. And you say, what are you doing talking about works? Because the Word does. Abraham demonstrated his faith by taking his son to the altar on the mountain. He believed God. He welcomed Isaac as a part of his faith. He's 100 years old when the boy is born. His wife is 90. Folks, that doesn't happen unless God's involved. And God was, because Abraham believed God. Then James 2:21 says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac on the altar, as we have already described? And how Isaac's faith was, in the years that he had lived with his dad, he had learned that this man was special. Are your kids seeing your faith on a regular basis, that they believe in God and believe about God because you do? Folks, how important is that? We have all these parenting classes, and I'm all for that kind of thing. But folks, unless you walk as mom and dad in front of your kids in faith, you are cheating them. And if they do see your faith, they are going to follow your footsteps. Parents, what a responsibility. Isaac asked his father about the absence of the sacrifice, as we mentioned. And he simply replied, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. Do you see what's going on here? Abraham saw it before it was so that it could be so. He was looking through eyes of faith. I don't know the whole makeup of that situation. All I know is that he told his son he would provide the lamb. But he still is going to the place of taking that knife, as we said just a minute ago, to plunge it into the heart of his son. That just sends chills up and down me. I want to walk there. I want to live by faith like that. So Abraham was justified before God because he believed God and he obeyed God. It's not enough just to believe God. You can say you believe God. Belief has to be followed by obedience. That then is the totality of faith. And had Abraham protested his offering his son on the altar, had he failed, if we could change that in our minds. And he goes up there and he gets to the top of Mount Moriah and he sees what's going on. He said, son, I'm sorry. We had to walk all the way up this mountain. Let's go home. I can't do this. Have you been there? Have you walked up to the edge of that precipice of faith and you balked and turned around and didn't follow through? Folks, don't go there. Don't go there. You must finish what he has called you to do. You must follow through with what he has commanded you to do. Take your son Isaac, your only son Isaac, and offer him as a sacrifice, was what he was told to do. Had Abraham balked at that command, we would never heard of him today. Think about that. We wouldn't be spending this time this morning talking about this man of God, cornerstone of the faith. But he didn't balk. He followed through. But Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him as righteousness. And he's a pillar in the hall of fame of faith there in Hebrews 11. Because Abraham believed God, he set an example. And God's plan of redemption of lost humanity is set in place. Because again, salvation is by grace through faith. And when we have that grace and faith that he gives us the faith. It's not something you and I work up. In and of himself, there's no way in the world that Abraham, as stalwart of man as he was, is going to do what he went to do. He said, forget this. No. He said, I haven't had a son from Sarah for 90 years. And now she's pregnant and she's having a son, and he's going to carry on the lineage and all those kinds of things. He had a lot at stake here. Of special note, because of Abraham's example of faith, about 2,000 years later, somebody else is going to be born. Christ Jesus. Abraham is in the lineage of Christ. Now that's heavy duty. He is going to be in the lineage of Abraham, the man of faith. The Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, is going to be a great, great grandson of Abraham, the Son of God. That sends chills up and down my spine. Isaac, Abraham's son, who was on the altar, He's bound. He's laying there on the altar. His eyes are open. He's watching his dad pick up his knife and moving it toward his heart. He also obeyed God. And he trusted and had faith in his father. Listen, dads. He raised his son so that his son trusted him. And even at the point of that downward plunge, that knife, we don't see him crying out. We don't hear him struggling to get loose and screaming. He is perfect peace with that knife inches from his heart. He trusted his dad that much. Do your kids trust you, dads, in that way? If you say it, does that just... That's it? That settles it? No need to go on? If that's not the case, it's not too late to start. As long as they are living with you in your house, begin to model the faith that Abraham displayed here throughout his life for his son, and had a son that trusted him without question. God's word is the source of our faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Most people don't obey God because they don't believe God. And they don't believe God because they don't know his word. If you think, if it's resonating with you just a little bit this morning, and you say, you know, that faith thing that Wheeler guy was talking about, yeah, that sounded pretty neat. I'd like to have that kind of faith, and I'd like to have the benefits of that kind of faith, and I'd like to have my kids look at me like he was describing this morning. Folks, if that's your desire this morning, you're going to have to get yourself in the Word. You're going to have to believe what you read, and you have to read in order to believe. Because knowing, believing God is the prerequisite for obedience. And believing God even in the context of pain and loss. Folks, this is not just for those good days we have. I hate that. Somebody said, you having a good day? I hate that. When most 90% of the time, the person would have to say, I'm not having a good day. Because their day is not what they want it to be. But folks, if you are resigned to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, every day is a good day. Every day is a great day. Are we going to break out of this disease that we get from our culture about how you feel and all that kind of stuff? If you're in Christ Jesus, folks, you have all that is good. And there is no reason for you to ever have a bad day. Because if you are having a bad day, it's a day that you can witness to others as they see you go through that bad day and give them glory to the Lord. So would you get rid of the bad days? And by the way, quit judging your days in the first place. It's a day he has given you. Rejoice and be glad. To believe and obey his word, you have to know his word. There's the great illness of Christianity, I believe. People don't know the word of God. They say, well, you know, there's a verse on my calendar at home, and I read it every day. No, that's not what we're talking about, all right? We're talking about saturating yourself in this word, hiding it in the innermost part of your being. And then when these crises come in your life, you respond by the word that's hidden in your heart. That's where the strength comes in. That's where the faith comes out. God speaks through his word. He doesn't have a special way of doing it except reading in his word. But God also speaks through the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit lives in you, and if you have been born again, he lives in your heart. So there is this pairing then of the word of God and the Holy Spirit in your life. That's the way this Christian life is to be lived. We know the word, and the Spirit uses the word to speak to us regarding every situation that comes in our life. Now, caution. We are told to try the spirits. What that means is we try the spirits by the word. You see, there's some other spirits out there lurking around. You see, we have the flesh. And then we have unholy spirits, demonic spirits. And they are at work in our lives as well. So we have to know the word so that we can try the spirit whether it's of God or not. Because the spirit that is of God will always bring glory and honor and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. So if that situation being led by that other spirit comes in your life and it's not glorifying Jesus Christ, it's not him. It's a false spirit. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God will always agree. If you get one of those situations where you say, well, I feel, or I've been thinking and, those kind of deals, and you want to do it, you see, and so you're trying to look for that peace so you can do it, you know, but you're not getting the peace, take that issue, whatever it is, and line it up against God's Word. If they agree, then that is God's working in your life. But that thing that you want to do, if the Word of God speaks against it, run. Run for your life and get away from it because it's seeking to kill and steal and destroy. Validate God's will by His Word and by the Spirit. Finally, this morning, faith delivers from verses 24 and 26. Faith is a gift from God that delivers the Holy Spirit in our lives. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift of God. The faith to believe is a gift from God. And when He takes up residence in your life, in that grace-faith combination, then you're a born-again believer. The grace and faith required for salvation are gifts that He gives us. You don't earn them. You can't go out and do enough work for Him. You can't go to church at least two out of the four weeks of a month and think that's, folks, that's not what it is. It's nothing that you do. It's all that He's done. And He gives you the faith to believe, and He gives you the grace to save you. Verse 24 says, a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Now, if you're paying attention at all, you're having one of these things right now. You know, let me read it again. A person is justified by works and not faith alone. You say, well, I believe, okay, show me the works. I'm just an observer, show me the works. This is what rattles the cages of a lot of Christians, is they think that, well, I believed. When I was 4 years old, I walked down an aisle at church, so I'm okay. No. Show me the works. If that was real, the habitual, continual pattern of your life today will be that pleases God. And the priority of your life will be doing His will and obeying Him. Faith and works, I found a new word this week. You know, Baptists really struggle with this when you start talking about works. You know, a lot of denominations, that's what they focus on, but as Baptists, we get kind of nervous when you start talking about works. But I learned this new word this week. The word is conjoined. I don't think I've ever bumped up against it before. C-O-N-J-O-I-N-E-D. Conjoined. What that means are the two variables are dependent on each other. In other words, if you only have one, that's all you have. But if you have both, they are conjoined. So it is faith and works. They go together. If you have faith, you will have works. You can't have works without faith. So they are conjoined. True faith results in the works of God that fulfill God's will. Now, James takes us to another personality. I'll be quick here. He brings up the strangest kind of person that you wouldn't expect to find in God's Word. A prostitute. Her name is Rahab. Rahab was a law-abiding, independent contractor of that day. She was a prostitute. And she lived in Jericho. Literally, she lived in Jericho. She lived in the wall of Jericho. You see, in those city-states back in those days, the apartments were in the wall itself. And in some of those cities, you could drive several chariots around the outer wall on top of it. So she lives in the wall, and these two spies, I used to think there was 50 or there's just two spies. And they came to spy out the city of Jericho because it's next on God's list to destroy. And so these two spies show up at Jericho. And this prostitute, this woman of the night, did something very strange. She took care of them. These are the enemy. But she took them, brought them into her house, let them down by the rope to get out, and showed them the secret way out of the city. Because they heard that they were in town. And they had been hearing what was going on in these other cities that had been destroyed by God. Rahab took care of the spies of God. I got very interested in that, and why. Back over in Joshua 2:11, you'll find her confession of faith. Marvelous. And so Rahab the prostitute is justified by works and the faith that she had. You don't do what she did, folks, unless you believe that God is. And she let them down and they escaped and the city of Jericho was destroyed. But Rahab and her family were all spared. Now think about that. I mean, it's utter destruction. And then they come in. If there's anybody even breathing a little bit, they run them through with a knife or sword. But not Rahab and her family. Oh, folks, we're so quick to judge a person based on what they have been and don't accept them for who they are. I like this saying. I don't know where I heard it. A lot of people claim credit for it. But this is one of those testimonies that God can hit a straight lick with a crooked stick. Okay? You're looking at a crooked stick this morning. Folks, it doesn't matter what you have been. It's who you are and who you're becoming. God will use that person. God empowers and provides for those who obey His will, those who are committed to glorifying Him alone. If that's you this morning, God has your back, and He's going to use you, and He's going to provide for you. We're not wired to receive glorification in this life. So many are searching for that today, all this self-esteem garbage that's out there and all that kind of stuff. Folks, It's not healthy to make a bad person feel good about themselves. There's two things that happen. Self-concept, that's what you think about yourself. And self-esteem is what you feel about yourself. Please, parents, raise your kids in honesty. Don't just be after them to have a high self-esteem. If they're bad, bust their butt. All right? You don't have to try to talk to them and all this kind of thing. You say, you're a heathen or something. It is not about making people feel good. It's about people knowing who they are in Christ and then experiencing that redemptive work of His grace and that they are a new creature in Christ Jesus. A lot of people have attempted to glorify themselves in this life. This is just a minuscule part of these. Caesar thought he was God. He was worshipped as a god in Rome. Muhammad, Confucius, Socrates, Alexander the Great, Gandhi, Hitler, that list goes on and on. People who had a God complex. Again, folks, don't die on the field of self-esteem, about making your kids feel better about themselves. If they do good, make them feel good. If they do bad, make them feel bad. But raise them in honesty, not so that they grow up thinking, well, I've the end-all, be-all of humanity. They're going to step out of your door and find out that's not true. If you love them, you don't have to worry about self-esteem. They'll see your love and devotion, and they will return that because they want to please you. So our goal in life is to glorify God in anticipation of Him glorifying us in His heaven when this life is over. So what does your future hold? What are your life goals? May I recommend to you Philippians 3:10 this morning? It's the only life goal that I've found that has any value. Here it is. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If that is your testimony, folks, you have a great life ahead of you. Let's pray. Father, how You love us. And Father, especially those sitting in this room this morning, because everyone sitting in a chair in this room knows Your grace by faith in Christ alone, or they are looking for it. Father, thank You that You called us. Thank You that You put us in situations, some of them were very difficult situations, but You brought us out of that into Your mercy and grace. Oh, Lord, I pray that we would never go a day without getting down on our knees and thanking You for this wonderful, marvelous gift of salvation. Because come what may, Father, You're there with us. You said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So, Father, may we be men and women of faith this morning. May we be men and women, Father, who hear from You and do as You direct us to do, and believe and give You the glory for it when it's done. So bless these who have come this morning, Father, in Jesus' name.